Chapter 20, The Third Flight of Beelzebub to the Planet Earth. After a brief pause, Beelzebub continued. This time, I stayed at home on the planet Mars for a very short while, only long enough to see and talk with those who had just arrived, and to give certain instructions of a common tribal character. Once these obligations were taken care of, I descended again to your planet with the intention of pursuing my aim, that is, to uproot from those strange three-centered beings their horrible custom, which they considered a sacred duty, of destroying the existence of beings of other brain systems. On my third descent to the planet Earth, our ship Occasion did not alight on the Colchideous Sea, now called the Caspian, but on the sea known at that period as the Sea of Beneficence. We decided to alight there because this time I wished to go to the capital of the beings of the second group on the continent of Asharq, the city of Gob, which was situated on the southeastern shore of that sea. The city of Gob was then a large city and was renowned over the whole planet for its production of fine fabrics and what are called precious ornaments. The city spread over both banks of the mouth of a large river called the Kerriachi, which rose in the eastern highlands of the country and emptied into the Sea of Beneficence. On its western side, another large river called the Nariachi flowed into the same sea. And it was chiefly in the valleys of these two rivers that the beings of the second group on the continent of Asharq existed. If you like, my dear boy, I will tell you a little about the history of these beings, Beelzebub said to Hasin. Yes, grandfather, please, I shall listen to it all with great interest and gratitude, replied his grandson. So Beelzebub began. A long, long time before the period of my present tale, and even long before the second great catastrophe to that ill-fated planet, while the continent of Atlantis was still at the height of its splendor, one of the ordinary three-centered beings of that continent discovered, as later became clear through my investigations, that the powdered horn of a being of a particular exterior form, then called Pirmaral, was a very effective remedy for all sorts of diseases, and this discovery was afterward circulated far and wide by various freaks on your planet. At the same time, there was gradually crystallized in the reason of ordinary beings a directing factor, of course illusory, which later contributed to the formation in the common presence of each of your favorites, especially the contemporary ones, the reason of their so-called waking existence. And this factor is to a large extent the cause of the frequent change in their convictions. Owing to this factor, crystallized in the presence of the three brain beings of that period, it became the custom that anyone who fell ill, as they say, of some disease or other, had to be given a dose of this powdered horn to swallow. You might be interested to know that Pirmarals still breed on your planet, but the contemporary beings take them merely for one of the species they call deer and have no special name for them. Well, my boy, the beings of the continent of Atlantis destroyed so many of these Pirmarals for the sake of their horns that soon not a single one was left there. Then certain beings of that continent who had made a profession of hunting Pirmarals went to look for them on other continents and islands. This kind of hunting presented great difficulties, for it took many hunters to round up and capture the Pirmarals. So these professional hunters always took their whole families along with them to help. One day, several of these families banded together and set off to hunt pure morals on a distant continent then called Iranon, which later, after the upheavals caused by the second catastrophe, was called the continent of Ashark, and today is known by your favorites as Asia. For my further tales concerning these three-brained beings who have taken your fancy, it will be useful for you, I think, if I emphasize here that because of various disturbances during the second terrestrial catastrophe, certain parts of the continent of Iranon entered within the planet, while in their place other land masses emerged and attached themselves to it, with the result that this continent was considerably changed, becoming almost as large as the continent of Atlantis before the catastrophe. Well, my boy, one day, while this group of hunters and their families were pursuing a herd of these piramorals, they came to the shores of the water space, later called the Sea of Beneficence. This sea, with its rich and fertile shores, pleased them so greatly that they no longer wished to return to the continent of Atlantis, and from then on, they remained in that region. At that time, this country was indeed so marvelous and so supranilanian for ordinary being existence that no being in his right mind could help liking it. Not only did great herds of the two-brained beings called pure morals exist there, but the shores of this water space, situated in the middle of that country, were covered with luxuriant vegetation, including vast numbers of fruit trees of many kinds, whose fruit then still served your favorites as the principal product of their first being food. And there were also such multitudes of the one-brained and two-brained beings called birds that when flocks of them passed overhead, the sky became, as your favorites say, quite dark. The waters of the Sea of Beneficence so abounded with fish that you could almost catch them with your bare hands. As for the soil along the shores of the sea and in the valleys of the two great rivers flowing into it, every inch was so fertile that it could be used to grow anything you like. In short, the country and its climate so delighted the hunters and their families that none of them had any desire to return to the continent of Atlantis. So they settled there and multiplied, soon adapting themselves to the surrounding conditions and existing, as he said, on a bed of roses. At this place in my tale, I must tell you about an extraordinary coincidence that had important consequences, both for the first settlers of this second group and for their descendants down to recent times. It seems that when the hunters from the continent of Atlantis decided to settle by the Sea of Beneficence, there already existed on the shores of that sea a being from their own continent who was very important at that time and who was an astrosavor, that is, a member of a section of a learned society, the like of which has never again appeared on the planet Earth and probably never will. This learned society was called the Society of Acheldans. The circumstances that had brought this member of the Society of Acheldans to the shores of the Sea of Beneficence were as follows. Just before the second catastrophe, those genuinely learned beings then existing on the continent of Atlantis, who had founded that truly great society, became aware that something very serious was about to happen on their planet. So they set themselves to observe very carefully all the natural phenomena on their continent. But in spite of all their efforts, they could not find out precisely what was impending. Somewhat later, they sent certain of their members to other continents and islands in the hope that by their combined observations, they might learn what the anticipated danger was. These members were to observe not only natural processes on the planet Earth, but also every kind of celestial phenomenon. One of these members, the important being I just mentioned, chose the continent of Iranan for his observations, and having migrated there with his servants, settled on the shores of that water space, later called the Sea of Beneficence. One day, this learned member of the Akhaldans chanced to meet some of the hunters on the shores of this sea, and learning that they too had come from Atlantis, he was naturally very glad and began to establish friendly relations with them. Thus, shortly afterward, when the continent of Atlantis was engulfed within the planet, this learned Akhaldan, having no longer a place to return to, remained with the hunters in that future Meral Plaisy. Later, the group of hunters chose this learned being as the most intelligent to be their chief. Still later, this member of the Great Society of Akhaldans married one of the hunters' daughters named Rimala, thus becoming the founder of the second group on the continent of Ashak, or as it is now called, Asia. A long time passed. In this country, generations of three-brain beings arose and disappeared. And as everywhere else on the earth, the general level of the psyche of this group underwent many changes, sometimes, of course, for the better, sometimes for the worse. As their numbers grew, these beings gradually spread more and more widely over the country, though always preferring the shores of the Sea of Beneficence and the valleys of the two great rivers that emptied into it. Only much later, a common center of existence was formed on the southeastern shore of the sea, and this city, named the City of Gob, became the chief place of residence for the head of this second group of beings, whom they called a king. This position of king became hereditary, beginning with the first chief they had chosen, the learned member of the Society of Akhaldans.